This is the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Glad to have you with us this weekend. Coming up, Congress is back this week, and among the many issues that will be facing them, like taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood, is the president's deal with Iran over their nuclear program. Now, it appears the president has now secured the votes he needs in the U.S. Senate to advance this deal. But can it be stopped? What will it mean for our nation's security if it cannot be stopped? Gary Bauer is here in just a moment for that discussion. And Hillary Clinton's electronic problems are intensifying. More classified emails. What actions will Congress be taking when they return? Florida Congressman Ron DeSantis is here for that conversation. Let me encourage you to check out the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about today's topics, our guest. Also, coming up after Labor Day, we will be cranking back up our daily update, keeping you informed on those issues that pertain to faith, family, and freedom. And if you're not already getting that, you can. Go to TonyPerkins.com and you can subscribe right there. Also, let me remind you, coming up this month, just a couple of weeks away, the Values Voter Summit, September the 25th through the 27th. We'll have most of the Republican presidential candidates. We'll have conservative leaders, Republican leaders, and I hope we'll have you. To find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right. Earlier this week, when President Obama was able to secure the support of Maryland Senator Barbara Mikulski, she basically sealed the deal for him to be able to advance his deal with Iran. Because what the situation is now, the president has enough votes to sustain his veto if the Congress is able to get through a disapproval resolution. What does this mean? What does this mean for our security? What does it mean for the security of Israel? And can it be stopped, or is it a done deal? Joining me now with his analysis on this is former president of the Family Research Council and current president of American Values, Gary Bauer. Gary, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Always great to be with you.
Well, you've been tracking this because I forgot to mention you have another hat that you're now wearing in that new organization. Describe that new role that you have now advocating on these issues, primarily issues like this.
Yes, I'm obviously continuing my work on life and marriage and so forth, but I've also agreed to head up Christians United for Israel's Action Fund, their lobbying arm, and grassroots education arm. So we've been obviously busy, as I know you have, and you've been in recent weeks on this Iranian deal. Your summary was exactly right. When Senator Mikulski this week endorsed the bill, that appears to be the 34th vote. Look, we believe in miracles, right? And something could still happen. And I think, sadly, one of the things that could happen is that Iran could do something in the days ahead that would show their hand once again. But look, the bottom line is the president negotiated a terrible deal. The Republicans in the United States Senate set up a procedure to consider that deal that turned the usual approach on its head so that the president only needed to get 34 senators instead of 67. And as a result, this thing may go through. Iran, if it does, gets $100 to $150 billion, and the world becomes, and the situation for Israel and the United States becomes much more dangerous.
Now, Gary, we've been hearing some saying that, look, this, if it walks like a duck, if it quacks like a duck, then it's a duck. People are saying this is a treaty. The president has negotiated a treaty with Iran over their nuclear program. There are some that are saying, you know, they're going to advance the idea that this is, in fact, a treaty, not an agreement. Therefore, this process that has been put in place has turned the constitutional process on its head. Does that have any merits, or do you think that will go anywhere?
Well, I do think it's a treaty, and I'm mystified why the majorities in Congress felt that they needed to make this change. I, from what I understand, they felt that if they didn't change the process, President Obama would take this agreement directly to the United Nations and go around the Congress. Well, he ended up taking it to the United Nations anyway. So once again, you know, he pulled the rug out from underneath those in Congress on the conservative side or the Republican side that think that he can that they can work with him. I mean, after 6+ years of this, you would think after a while they would catch on, but now we're in this sad position where the thing is likely to go through, even though every major poll now shows that the American people, after hearing both sides of the debate, overwhelmingly oppose this deal.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins, joined by Gary Bauer. We are discussing the prospects of what Congress is going to do when they return this coming week. Waiting for them, among many items, is the president's agreement, treaty, that he's negotiated with Iran over the future of their nuclear program. Now, the Congress has until September the 17th to deal with this. However, as we were discussing, the president has secured the votes that he needs, theoretically, to sustain a veto if the Congress rejects this plan. Now, Gary, this puts us, could put us, and I think it's strong, I think there's a strong possibility this could happen. This puts us at odds with Israel when it comes to their interest in this in the Middle East.
No question about it. Now, there as the week was drawing to a close, Secretary Kerry gave a major speech in which he announced that we would up military aid. We would increase massively or in a major way military aid to Israel, to Saudi Arabia, and some of our friends in the Middle East. And some people were heartened to see that. But, in my view, it just reinforces how bad this deal is. If this was a good deal, why would our friends in the Middle East, including Israel, need to have a massive increase in assistance? It's the very fact that it's a bad deal and that Iran will use that $100 billion that they get for more bad purposes, more terrorist attacks, et cetera, that the administration is now trying to ease the minds of critics by throwing a little bit of a carrot out there after the disaster of what they've done at the negotiating table.
Now, Gary Bauer, I know that you have long been tracking these international issues, even when you were at the Family Research Council before you ran for the Republican nomination for president, and these international issues, in particular the interest of Israel, they being a key ally of the United States. I've asked many members of Congress, senators that have been on the program, this question, and I'm going to put it to you. Why would the administration negotiate this deal with Iran? I mean, what? I've not been able to come up with an answer as to why.
Yeah, it's a great question, Tony, and the scary thing about the question is there's no rational answer that leaves you with anything other than some really terrible things about our current government. The best answer I can come up with, and I think there's a lot of evidence of this, is that President Obama actually believes that the Middle East would be better off if Iran was maintaining order in the Middle East. He has advisors around him who have said that publicly. There was even a commission that was put together a year or so before the president came into office that suggested that a Middle East dominated by Iran would actually be a more stable place. I think that's almost obscene. I mean, this is a government, a country that denies the first Holocaust while they promise a second one. They hate America. They hate Israel. But that is the most logical explanation I can come up with. In fact, Tony, I don't really think this is a nuclear deal at all. I think there's very little in it that will stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. I think basically what was negotiated was a sanctions relief deal, that the whole purpose of the negotiations was the president attempting to get the sanctions off of Iran, off of various generals in Iran and various extremist groups in Iran, in exchange for Iran being willing to do certain things in the Middle East that the president wanted done.
Amazing. You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Gary Bauer, my guest. Still to come, Congressman Ron DeSantis of Florida joins us to talk about more emails being discovered on Hillary's private server and private emails regarding national security issues. We're going to be talking about that and what Congress may do there. Gary, this is disturbing. when you think about what this administration is doing to set up Iran as the power broker in the Middle East. These are not rational actors. Nothing about them suggests that they would operate according to, what we would normally think a nation would do, because they're driven by an eschatology, a theology that is a zero sum game, and they want to bring on the end and destroy everybody around them.
Yes, that's absolutely correct, Tony. They've provided a little bit of help on fighting ISIS, and ISIS is in the news a lot. They're obviously terrible people. That their roots are Sunni Muslim, and their goal is to set up a caliphate in the Middle East. So the administration, the president has said, Iran is willing to cooperate with us to stop ISIS from setting up this caliphate. Well, what he's failing to mention is that Iran is already a caliphate. It's a Shiite caliphate. It's a nation built on a radical version of Shiite beliefs, and they think that an Islamic Messiah is about ready to appear on the earth, that when he comes, he will slaughter Christians and Jews. And they believe they have a moral religious obligation from Allah to speed up the timing of that Messiah by creating havoc and war wherever they can. That is the nation and the leaders of that nation that President Obama and Secretary of State Kerry has signed an agreement with. All the while, that country was promising another Holocaust. I think it's a shameful, shameful moment in American history. And I actually have sympathy for the next president, whoever that is, trying to clean up the mess that he's going to find when he comes into the White House.
Yeah, because it's going to be hard to undo. I mean, you can try to stop going forward, but once you release the sanctions and the $150+ billion that they will already have, it's going to be hard to undo it.
You're exactly right. That money is going to go into the coffers of Iran. They've already gone on a shopping spree, not to build better schools or build bridges or any of that. They sent some of their top generals to Moscow and to China. In the last several weeks while this deal was being debated, they announced major new arms deals with Russia and China. Again, that should have told us everything we needed to know. And it makes one wonder, what in the world are these 34 Democrat senators thinking, that they would ignore all of that information because they were so fearful of crossing the President of the United States and ending up earning his ire and his opposition.
It's beyond unbelievable. That's all I can say. Gary Bauer, thanks so much for being with us. I want to ask you one quick question on the way out. You have a little experience in presidential politics. You ran for the Republican nomination. I want you to just touch on 30 seconds, the phenomena of Donald Trump and the fact that he's come out of nowhere in leading polls, not by a little bit, but by pretty large margins everywhere.
Tony, I wish we had a lot more time to discuss it. Look, I believe Donald Trump is a creature, a creation of the Republican establishment in this sense that they have disappointed conservatives so often that people are hungry to send that establishment a message. And I think they see Donald Trump as the kind of guy that will do that, is willing to take a punch and give two more. And I don't know how long the phenomena will go, but if Republican leaders are worried, they have nobody to blame but themselves.
Gary, I think you are absolutely 100% correct. I see it the same way. Gary Bauer, as always, thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be with you, Tony. Keep up the great work.
All right, my friend Gary Bauer. To find out more about his work on behalf of faith, family, and freedom, as well as Israel, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, don't go away. When we come back on this weekend edition of Washington Watch, more information surfacing about Hillary Clinton and confidential emails sent on her private server. What could this mean? As Congress comes back, they'll be taking a closer look at it. Don't go away. We're right back with Congressman Ron DeSantis of Florida when we return. On September 25th through the 27th, plan to be at this year's Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. to stand alongside thousands of like-minded Americans who want to see our country return to the founding principles of faith, family, and freedom. Confirmed and invited speakers include Mike Huckabee, Rick Santorum, the Benham Brothers, Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, Franklin Graham, Megyn Kelly, Governors Bobby Jindal, Scott Walker, Mary Fallon, Jeb Bush, and Sam Brownback. Senators Ted Cruz, Tim Scott, Marco Rubio, and Rand Paul, Representative Paul Ryan, and many more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, life and marriage, national security, government overreach, and much more. Register before May 1st for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This September, stand with us to preserve this great nation. Values Voter Summit is sponsored by FRC Action, AFA Action, American Values, Liberty Institute, Ohio Christian University, and Family Research Council. Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along this weekend. Again, visit the website, tonyperkins.com. You can find out more about the topics we're discussing today. Also, and we're going to talk about this in just a moment with my next guest, the issue of Planned Parenthood is going to be coming up as Congress returns this week. Your tax dollars, last tally, $528 million plus dollars going to that organization from taxpayers. Now, they have over $1 billion in their annual budget. But with all of this revelation about what they're involved in, should your tax dollars be used to fund this organization? We have a petition on the website, tonyperkins.com. Sign that. I personally am going to take that to the Republican leadership on the Hill, saying now is the time to defund them. All right, joining me now, Congressman from the 6th Congressional District of Florida. I want to talk with him about Planned Parenthood, but also I'm going to discuss with him new information coming out from the State Department, 4,000 more emails from the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton. Already, 125 of those have been deemed as confidential. This is becoming a huge issue, and it could have been, may have been, we don't know, a major security breach for the nation. Joining me now with the latest on this is a member of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, the representative, as I mentioned, of the 6th Congressional District of Florida, Ron DeSantis. Ron, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tony. I appreciate it.
I think people, we've been hearing this over and over, more emails, private server, security issues, so on and so forth. What is the latest, and where might this lead?
Well, I think it's interesting in this latest trove, what you see is Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State acting as what we would say in the security and military areas, an originator of classified material. You know, her whole excuse had been, well, look, yeah, stuff was coming over my email. I never sent or received anything that was, quote, marked classified. And actually, that's not even true with some of the emails that we have, but what we have is examples of her putting information in an email and sending it out over an unsecured network about some of her discussions with foreign leaders or highly sensitive meetings, and that clearly would not have been something that you would be able to discuss without the requisite protections. And so when the State Department went back and reviewed it and classified it, they classified it as the date beginning the date that she created it and sent it. And so if you're creating this stuff, the idea that it wasn't marked, of course it's not going to be marked because you're the one that's actually putting it in email. So I think that's very, very significant, and it kind of further blows a hole into some of her defenses. And I think the other thing that is significant is the extent to which this Clinton crony, Sidney Blumenthal, is involved in all this stuff, and she's sending him sensitive material. Not only did Sidney Blumenthal not have a security clearance, he wasn't even working for the government. He was just a kind of a Clinton confidant. And so this was somebody who you clearly would not have shared any of the details of any of your meetings with foreign leaders or any of that with, and yet she did that. And so I think that she comes out of it looking even worse. And of course, when you're dealing with the Clintons, they're always going to they're not going to tell the truth at first, and they're going to shift and shift. But every time she's kind of shifted and tried to amend her excuses, the information that comes out shows that she's still not telling the truth. And I think that that's what this latest trove demonstrates.
Congressman DeSantis, you bring up a good point. I mean, it's I would have to say that she's acted at least at a minimum disingenuous in that she said, "Oh, these things weren't marked confidential. They did not have security classification when I received them." It was because she wrote them, and they had classified material, which as Secretary of State she should have known.
There's no doubt about it. And when you were in the military, Tony, when I was in the military, I mean, if we had been, say, sitting in on a briefing about a future operation, we would not be able to then go and just send an email on like a Hotmail account talking about details of that. And yes, there was no document marked classified, but you know when you're discussing those sensitive matters, they would have a classification level of at least confidential and probably even higher. And so really it's put her in a weird spot, because either her head was in the sand so much and she just had no clue what she was doing, or she was so intent on cutting the corners to try to hide her communications from the Congress and from FOIA requests that she was willing to allow stuff to go over the transom that shouldn't have gone. Either she's not competent enough to be in that position, or she is doing things to affirmatively reveal secrets. So I think that she's in really an untenable position right now. And if you were just a rank and file member of a security service, you would lose your job over this, I think, forthwith. I don't think it would even be a question.
You're listening to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us this weekend. Congressman Ron DeSantis is my guest, 6th Congressional District of Florida. He's a member of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee, which has jurisdiction over these issues. Two questions for you, Congressman, before we move on to the issue of Planned Parenthood. First is, why does this matter?
It matters in two senses. One is, we're supposed to be a nation dedicated to equal justice under law. And that means that people in Washington are supposed to live under the same rules as everybody else. And I think what we've seen, particularly over the last many years, is, we have this kind of ruling class in Washington, in which they kind of do what they want, and then the rules are for the little people. I think Hillary Clinton really exemplifies that attitude more than anybody else. I think it's an attitude that's fundamentally inconsistent with how the country was founded. And then obviously it matters because this is somebody who is putting herself out as being the next commander-in-chief, potentially, as president of the United States. And you have to think about, okay, you're going to be the leader of our military. You're going to be in charge of protecting national security information. And yet, if people who are in your employ in the military and the intelligence services behave the way you did and were as cavalier as you were about it, they would not be able to end up continuing to serve. So I think she has not even lived up to a basic standard, much less a standard that would be enough to elevate her to be commander-in-chief. So I think it's a test of the character, whether we have a Republican form of government, but then it's also politically something that is very important as voters look to see whether this is someone you want to put as your commander-in-chief.
Do we know the degree to which national secrets or sensitive information could have been either compromised intentionally or unintentionally?
Well, we don't know exactly what China has, what Russia has, what some of our adversaries has, but I think we need to look into that and try to figure out. But here's the thing. When you're dealing with information that is classified, or even if it's just sensitive information, if you're not protecting it, you assume that it's been compromised. And I think that's where we're at here, where even if somebody didn't hack a particular communication, the way we deal with it in the security services in the military is once it wasn't protected, you got to assume the worst. You assume it's been intercepted. You assume that it's been compromised, and then you have to change how you're doing things. And so for her, clearly, her entire record as Secretary of State, her communications were just a sitting duck for hackers and other folks who were on the cyber side of things.
So what's next as Congress returns this coming week and the House Oversight Committee? What will be the focus as it pertains to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton?
Well, I think we should be doing a lot of work on the Oversight Committee to kind of show the American people, what is this? What is classified information? How do you protect it and provide some education? Because I think the problem is that the Clintons are using some of these excuses about, well, if I sent something that wasn't marked classified, it's not a big deal, when in fact it still is a big deal. So I think we need to kind of lay some groundwork about that. And then I also want to look into people who have been prosecuted for compromising classified information, because I think what we'll find is there'll be some people whose conduct was less egregious than Hillary's conduct who have had to face criminal liability. And I think that that's important for the American people to know. And of course, what will be all this will lead up to on the Benghazi subcommittee when she actually has to come testify under oath. And right now that's scheduled for, I believe, mid-October. Now, I'm not on the Benghazi subcommittee, special select committee, but I can tell you a guy like Trey Gowdy, he's going to grill her. And if she's not telling the truth, you know, people are going to be able to see that, I think.
Mm. Congressman DeSantis, we just have about a minute left, but I want to get your quick take on the issue of Planned Parenthood. That's going to be one of the big issues facing Congress. Will the Congress get taxpayers out of this forced partnership with this abhorrent organization?
We need to, and I've never supported money even before these videos, because look, Planned Parenthood, money's fungible. They're basically just an abortion mill. So you are essentially funding abortions when you send money to Planned Parenthood. Now we know that, you know, they just conduct themselves. I mean, it's just barbarous practices. And, you know, I just cannot look at a taxpayer in the eye and say, yeah, I got to take money out of your paycheck to send to this organization. So that's why we're up there, is to exercise the power of the purse. To me, it's a very common sense thing to redirect money away from that organization. I hope we're given the opportunity to do that, and I obviously will vote to do that. But I don't know, Tony, that there's been any set course and strategy about how the House leadership or the Senate leadership is going to handle it. So any of your listeners who are concerned about it, light up the phone lines in Congress and tell your member of Congress, tell the leadership that we don't want our tax dollars going to Planned Parenthood.
All right, Congressman, that's exactly what we'll encourage them to do. Congressman Ron DeSantis, thanks so much for being with us this weekend.
Anytime. Thanks so much.
All right. To find out more about the congressman, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over. And please, while you're there, sign the petition to do just what Congressman DeSantis said. That is, send that message to Congress to defund Planned Parenthood now. Not next year, not 2 years from now, but now. Sign the petition. I'll personally take it to Capitol Hill. All right, folks, that's all the time we have. Thanks so much for being with us today. Let me leave you once again with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
The weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you've heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can help support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234.